generally they perform religious activities to achieve some material gain. And they engage in material activity for sense gratification. After being frustrated in material sense gratification, one wants to be liberated and become one with the absolute truth. These four principles form the transcendental path for the less intelligent. Those who are actually intelligent engage in Krishna consciousness, not caring for these four principles of the transcendental method. They at once elevate themselves to the transcendental platform, which is above liberation. Liberation is not a very great achievement for a devotee, to say nothing of the results of ritualistic performances in religion, economic development, or the materialistic life of sense gratification. Devotees do not care for means. They are situated always on the transcendental platform of the Brahma-Buddha stage of self-realization. Sa evam svantaram yukhara lekhara saptatim vasudeva prasangena hariputa gati chaya. He passed this time, which lasted 71 cycles of the four ages, 71 times 420,000 years. So he passed that time always thinking of Vasudeva and always engaged in matters regarding Vasudeva. Thus he transcended the three destinations. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Acharya Nera Vishesha Shunyavani Vastyajavi Shri Krishna Chaitanya Bhagavitya Ananda Shri Advaita Shivasani Gauravani Acharya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Yes. So now that this is the last verse about Swami Rupananda, that he's, you know, really focusing on him in terms of what's developing, the upcoming marriage of Karadama Muni and Devahuti, and then also the vivid descriptions we've read in the last some number of verses about how he was living the wonderful conditions there in his capital city, Arishpati, and just how he was conducting himself, and how he was ruling and directing and guiding the citizens in his country or in Arishpati, and just how exceptionally wonderful that all was. So he carried on like this as we read this verse. Everything was going on for his whole lifetime, while he lives, for 71 cycles of the four ages. There are 1,000 cycles. There's 1,000 cycles. And there are 13 manas. So if you multiply 71 by 13, you get, what do you get? 71 times 13. Oh, it's 41. Sorry, excuse me. have intimate periods in between the moments. It's not just, you know, just cut off and immediately on the spot the next one takes over. There are some little gaps, just sort of, I don't know, what would you say, what do they call it? When someone is getting introduced, a handover period. So he spent that whole time just always fully Krishna conscious, not sometimes Krishna conscious, and not trying to hang in there in Krishna consciousness somehow or other, as they say, by the skin of their teeth, or his teeth don't have skin, but not like that. Fully Krishna conscious, he was simply absorbed in his relationship with the Lord, thinking of the Lord, serving the Lord, glorifying the Lord, engaging the citizens in the service of the Lord, and working with his close associates to see that the whole kingdom went on. Well, he was, as Prabhupada mentions here, what the Prabhupada said, the ruler of this material world. So doing everything within his power to see, and this of course, you know, this was right at the beginning of the universe, but doing everything in his power to see that Krishna consciousness was just flourishing throughout the universe and in the life of every inhabitant, and if not every, because there were some Kali Yugas. Shri, Shri, Radha, Radha, Shri Yidhavada, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ki Jai. Yeah, there were some Kali Yugas there. 71 Kali Yugas, to be precise. And, we all know what Kali Yuga is like. And we have no reason to believe or think that those 71 categories were any better than this one. So anyway, you know what I mean. Maybe they had a few lockdowns. One imagines it's not the first one that ever happened. But anyway, at least in his immediate area, Vishnati itself, oh, it was just fully Krishna conscious. And so he was always Krishna conscious, in ecstasy in Krishna consciousness, and always engaged in matters regarding Krishna, just matters to do with the Lord in terms of running the kingdom and arranging morning and evening programs of Krishna Katara, etc. And I'm sure they had Japa programs also. This was his way of life. 24/7, as they say. And through doing this, the result was it all ended up. Not even just it ended up, but he was always in a transcendental position. He was always transcendental. And when finally the time came for him to leave this world, then surely he went to Krishna. Or perhaps Krishna had some other duty for him to perform. Whatever may have happened, he, because all just, again, fully Krishna conscious. As Srila Prabhupada says, on a number of occasions actually, but the most prominent is on the, what is it, appearance day. Disappearance, appearance, you don't remember. Anyway, it's either appearance or disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada's 1969, And Prabhupada tells the story of the four people who were blessed by a sage. There was a butcher, there was a prince, or there was a prince, then there was a butcher, then there was a brahmachari, so the spiritual student, and then there was a pure devotee. And without going into the detail, Prabhupada explains that the prince, they were all given sort of related blessings, but with very specific and important differences. So the prince was given the blessing, Jivova Navarova, you live, you don't die. Because as the prince, he's living in great opulence, and all sorts of sense gratification are at his disposal. So in that sense, he is, you could say, doing extremely well. However, there's another side to it, and that is by engaging in all this sinful activity, illicit sex life, gambling, intoxication, and so on, which he was doing, he's incurring all this terrible karma. So as soon as he dies, he's going to suffer terrible reactions for his karma and for a long time. So Jivova Navarova, you live and you don't die in that sense. Not that it's exactly possible, but anyway, as much as possible, like that. Then the butcher, who's, anyway, we all know, doing what butchers do, and Srila Prabhupada really becomes a little quite intense as he's explaining, but see his blood-stained hands, see the ghastly scene, Prabhupada says, with some real emotion in it. So horrible. So the sage blesses him. Najiva Navarova. Don't live and don't die. Because you're living such a life. Oh, it's just, you cannot live like that. You cannot live like that, so don't live. But when you die, your karma, oh, it's going to be worse than the prince. So definitely don't die. So don't live and don't die. And then the brahmachari, servant student of Krishna consciousness, Najiva Marova. Najiva, don't live, die. Get it? Get me? Because, as a brahmachari student, particularly in those days, well, today also, but in those days they lived with a spiritual master. These days we also live with a spiritual master, but there's a subtle sort of aspect to it of associating with him by his instructions and remembrance and service like that. So therefore, all facility for Krishna consciousness is there. You're not entangled in anything material like household life. You're sort of free in Krishna consciousness and remembering Krishna all the time. So, as soon as you die now, you go to Krishna. Because you're just fixed in Krishna consciousness. But if you live on, then, as generally happens with the great majority, you'll become a householder, and then you really get entangled, generally. You really get entangled in household life, maintenance, children, and all these responsibilities. And you may forget Krishna. Whereas today you're just going from one Krishna conscious activity to another. So Najiva moreover, don't live, die. These are blessings, actually. So then the pure devotee. Then the pure devotee. Jivova Marova. You live or you die. And it's up to you. Doesn't make any difference. Because you're living like Swayamvara, just fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, just always thinking of the Lord. So you're living like that, beyond the modes of material nature, on the transcendental platform. So whenever death comes, sooner, later, whenever it happens to be, you'll be fixed in Krishna consciousness, and you'll go to Krishna, and you're already with Krishna. So you live, you die in this lifetime. Well, you can decide. Doesn't make any difference, because you'll just always be with Krishna. And this is the position of Swayamvara. In the middle of Sri Ramana refers to Bhagavad Gita. Anyone who engages in devotional service to the Lord automatically becomes transcendental to the three destinations of the material nature, meaning in this context the three modes, and the destinations of people who are in the different particular modes which Prabhupada read about. So, yeah, that's 1426. Bhagavad Gita 1426. Marjyoga vicharina bhakti yoga vicharina sarvadam samati chaita brahma bhuyaya kapate. That one engages in full devotional service. It's got to be full devotional service, like Swayamvara, just fully engaged. One engages in full devotional service, unfailing under all circumstances. There may be challenges, there will be challenges while one is in this world, but for such a devotee, remaining fixed in Krishna consciousness, whatever happens in his or her life, then Krishna says, at once transcends the modes of material nature and comes to the level of Brahman. Or in other words, well, transcends the modes of material nature. So, like this. And Sri Prabhupada goes on to make the point that anyone who's engaged like this, is on a high platform, being in pure Krishna consciousness always, at all times and in all ways. That person, that devotee, goes beyond the liberated position of the other transcendentalists, the non-devoted transcendentalists, which of course particularly means the impersonalists, but it may also refer to some mystics and people like that. But mainly it's the impersonalists. So, it's just like in Bhagavad Gita chapter 7 verse 3, where Lord Krishna explains how few people are interested in spiritual life in this world. And he says, even those who achieve the perfection of spiritual life, which in this, that context means that perfection is Brahman realization, specifically, an impersonal type of realization, beyond the modes of material nature, at least for the time being. But out of those who have actually realized this, become perfect in this, very few come to approach Lord Krishna and become devotees and eventually go to Krishna and become his eternal associates in Goloka Vrindavan. It is a higher position. So for them, as Prabhupada explains here, they are struggling. They struggle at least to become liberated, but then after some time, they fall from their liberated position. They all fall, because there's a certain type of very subtle contamination, but it is quite strong, but it's kind of hidden. It becomes hidden when they very seriously practice some impersonal process, but remains there in the heart under this sort of fixation with the impersonal. And that fixation with the impersonal becomes so strong that they become liberated and go into the Brahman. But because that contamination is there, as they say, what goes around comes around. Yeah. And sooner or later it catches up with them. Even though it's hidden underneath this very intense absorption impersonally, but it's still there. And like everything in this material world, there's a cyclical process which goes on, and in time it comes up to the surface again. And that is, as stated, this verse, it's 10th canto, chapter 2, verse 32, that Yeye Radhadakshana Gupta Vahinas, Koyasta Bhavad Avashuddha Bhunaya, Arura Krishna Pranapadam Tata, Patanchito Nagita, Yushmat Anurayaha. That even though they achieve that position of apparently being liberated, but it's not really a liberated position, and therefore Patanchita, they fall down again. Why? What is the particular factor which stimulates them and their situations that they fall? It is Avashuddha Buddhaya. They have impure intelligence. Specifically, they have no regard for the lotus feet of the Lord. They don't appreciate the Lord. They don't appreciate his lotus feet. And that catches up with them, and they fall back into material life. Yeah. So, but for the devotees like Swami Rupananda, that never happens. As Srila Prabhupada, as Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, once one goes back to Goloka Vrindavan, into the eternal association of Krishna, then one never returns to this material world. And I read actually quite some years ago, maybe 10 or even more, a little more, that Srila Prabhupada in a class says something to the effect, someone asks him, can't we come back though? Actually, elsewhere Prabhupada explains that it's possible. One really becomes determined to return to material life. But there in that lecture or conversation, whatever it was, Srila Prabhupada said, so far, no one has returned. And so far means it's been a long time. And we're not really expecting it to happen to anyone else. To anyone. And we definitely don't want to be the first. Krishna would have to change Bhagavad Gita. But anyway. Yeah. So the position of the devotees is the pure devotees in their liberation is very different from the position of the impersonalists in their liberation, or their sort of liberation, kind of liberated position. In that for the devotees, they are just absolutely liberated. For the non-devotees, the impersonalists, they are just temporarily liberated. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that in that sense, they're still in material existence. You cannot really say they're liberated in the full sense of the term. Yes. And Prabhupada, quoting he says, yes, now I'm fleeing nature and devotional service. And liberation, what to speak of being in this sort of doubtful position of liberation which eventually one loses? The devotee, Lumamoto, is saying, I feel I'm so much liberated. I am so much liberated. That liberation, mother liberation, mukti mataji. Mukti mata. She's engaged in my service. And she wants to be in my association. Yes. So the position is not, you know, how to hang in there? How long can I remain in this sort of quasi-liberated state? And how long will it be before I lose the thing that is just back to business as usual in the material world? So therefore, the Prabhupada infers here that in Nature of Devotion, Prabhupada specifically discusses how Krishna, he fairly easily gives liberation and material sense gratification. It's not so hard. But he's very careful about who he gives devotional service to. He doesn't just give it to anyone and everyone. Of course, that's for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is in a different frame of mind. And he is just sort of more or less so liberal, in fact, almost just closes his eyes and just gives it to whoever. But the general idea is, and this is what's explained in the Nature of Devotion, is that Krishna is very careful who he gives devotional service to, because he knows that when I give devotional service to someone, it means, sooner or later, it may take a while, it depends on the determination of the person, it depends on the person, but sooner or later, because even if they fall down at some point, they'll come back and carry on. So sooner or later, I'm going to have to live with this person forever. I mentioned the other day how Ravindra Saru Prabhu, very great and extremely wonderful and senior devotee, somehow or other got into a situation where he and one other devotee, either living in the same temple or not far away, there was some sort of unpleasant atmosphere between the two of them. Yeah, something like that. And he was, one day, he was listening to a class by Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, and that devotee happened to be, perhaps, right in the same class. But just, he could see that devotee. And Prabhupada said, yes, we will all be together we will have another Israel that will look at your data. And at that moment, the religious group probably sort of looked up and saw that ability. And the spontaneous reaction was, oh no. But then he thought, wait a minute. I gotta get out of this frame of mind. Yeah. So. Right. So there was, what's there? Yeah, there's just another point I wanted to touch on. Yeah. That he transcended Gati Traya, the three destinations. Gati means destination. Gatiya Anyata, as we hear in the Hariyanam verse, that through chanting the whole holy name, Gatiya Anyata, we can go to that destination, spiritual world. So, here in the purport, Sri Prabhupada specifically refers to the destinations that people go to when they're in different of the three modes. Buddha, goodness, heavenly planets, passion, maybe on this level again, to try to enjoy again, maybe animal species or hellish, something like this. This is the basic idea. Of course, there's certainly variations. But it's definitely the basic idea as presented in Bhagavad Gita. But I just happened to have a look at Srila Vishnachakravarti Thakura's commentary on this verse. And he mentions also the three miseries. The three miseries. Adimotic, Adiatric, Adidrivic. These three miseries which were mentioned at some day, just not long ago at all. Maybe an extra instruction would be reading. So Adiatric. Miseries come just from your own body and mind. Adivotic, miseries come from other living entities. Someone attacks you, a mosquito bites you, and so many things like this. And then adidaivic, things which are just, you could say, just coming from the material nature. It's too hot, it's too cold. These types of phenomena. But I think diving, the term diving, indicates the control of the demigods. Although sometimes Prabhupada describes this misery as being just miseries from material nature. But the demigods, of course, are in charge of all of that, and they're administering that. So these are the three miseries. And people, so people go to different destinations depending on what they're just going through in material life. Some people are just having a terrible time physically. It influences their destination. Someone is being cheated by other people and abused by other people. It influences their destination in the next life. And someone is just suffering due to natural calamities. And that influences the person. In fact, there's a verse in the first canto in which it's described, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as the Lord of the Threes. The Threes. There are a number of very prominent and important threes in life, in existence. Well, there's the three modes, the three destinations of people of the three modes, then we mentioned the three miseries. Then there's the three guna avatars. The three guna avatars, they're extremely important. Then there's the three Purushas. Three Purushas, they're described in the second canto and to some degree in the third canto, earlier in the third canto. But more in the second canto, the three Purushas, and they're also Adi Taradak, or shall we start from Adi Atak, Adi Bhotik, and Adi Daivak. Purushas. The Adiatmic Purusha is the soul. The Adibhautik Purusha is the material body. And the Adidaivic Purusha, that is the demigods. And they're all related. And so in this sense of achieving different destinations, well, yes. What is your situation, the sort of the company you keep, and just, you know, the living entities who are surrounding you, how they affect you, and the demigods, how they deal with you. So destinations are affected in that way. But yeah, so threes, but there are more threes also. There are more threes. But those are some very prominent threes. They're the three planetary systems. So, there are many threes, and there's more than what I just mentioned. There are the three planetary systems also. So, there are the three phases of time, past, present, and future. There are the three stages of consciousness, which are mentioned here. Wakeful consciousness, dreaming, sleeping, but you're dreaming, the mind is still active, and the unconsciousness, elsewhere it's referred to as the deep sleep stage, where the mind is no longer functioning, and therefore you're out of your body, and you're out of your mind, so to speak. And that is said to be a kind of liberated position, in the sense that you're free from your body and you're free from your mind. But unfortunately, it's very heavy word of ignorance also. But actually, you know, it's interesting to go study at Tathasandhara, and Prabhupada also briefly, that you could go study more, explains how it can be said that when a person is in deep sleep and they're free from the body and free from the mind, no dreaming, that they are, what you believe, in a liberated position. A liberated position. But unfortunately, it's a, you know, just like, in a similar way at least, to be a person who is still liberated. They're actually liberated right now. But it's temporary, so therefore they're not really liberated in the full sense of the term, permanently. So simply, when a person is in deep sleep and they lose contact with the body, which is also there in the dreaming state, but they also lose contact with the mind. So they're liberated, but unfortunately, even though it's a type of liberation that's very temporary, it's only for however many an hour or a few hours while they're sleeping. And it's sort of cocooned in Tamagun. Sleep, after all, is deep, deep Tamagun, burning ignorance. So there's all these dreams. And like we say, Shri Chakravarti Thakur mentions the three miseries, and they also affect our destinations. If you don't have miseries, well, then you'll live a different sort of life and achieve a different type of destination. So that, Swayambhu Manu, of course, the point is that whatever you talk about in terms of three destinations or anything to do with the material world, he was beyond it all, in full Krishna consciousness. And we must engage like him, and then we'll also achieve what he achieved, and we'll also get on to a level where we don't care about the other forms of liberation, even though many other people are extremely interested. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any comment, question, Maharaj, clarification? Jagannath. Oh, today. He always has a question. Okay, Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, I was wondering, since Krishna thinks twice about giving devotional service, does that mean that Lord Chaitanya gives it indiscriminately?
The question is, if Lord Krishna thinks twice, maybe three times, and he really thinks before he gives someone the opportunity for devotional service, so does that mean that Lord Chaitanya is giving it indiscriminately? More or less, yes, he is giving it indiscriminately. However, there is a, what do they call it again? Caveat. A kind of catch-22 almost. Not quite. It's not quite catch-22, but it's definitely a caveat. Is that in this scenario, you've got it. Like you, you've got devotional service. He sort of, what would you say, inspected you, studied you, thought about you, seriously. And then he decided, okay, I'm going to give this one to the devotional service. And you got it, actually. But then after that, you know, there are many cases like Jagannatha even, and in those days when Lord Chaitanya was present, and his other, you know, extremely amazing associates were present. There are cases where people just on the spot, like Jagannatha particularly, went from just terrible condition, much worse than you, to pure emotional service, just like very But our experience is, in the current day, that the Lord gives, He gives, but then He keeps kind of prodding you to that, you know, there are this sort of latent materialism within us. That all this our conditioning and habits and conceptions. And the Lord puts us through a process of coming, in many cases, coming to grips with these. And actually having to consciously put them aside. Consciously deciding, I am not going to do this again. And then actually trying to do like that. So there's a process of bringing us to a higher point. Even though we come to Russian service, you know, you could say Krishna studied you and seriously, I'm sure you did. But then Lord Chaitanya maybe accelerated the process. So you come to Russian service, there you are, doing wonderful commercial service. But I'm sure you're going through your things from time to time. Who is here or anywhere in this world who could say they're not? No truthful devotee could say they're not going through any, you know, things for purification. And that's to bring us to that point, to higher levels. And ultimately, to the highest level. And if we carry on, and if we persevere and we're very sincere and serious, then by the mercy of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada and various others, we definitely can get to a point where we will be acceptable to become citizens of Goloka Vrindavan. It's like you're going to go through certain things, I don't think, from a third world country to be able to become a citizen of America, particularly, you know, anyway, some of these countries, wealthy countries. Yeah, so you're going to go through certain things and get up to a higher level before you'll be an acceptable citizen in Goloka Vrindavan, but it can be done. And that's Prabhupada's program, and that's the Lord Chaitanya's program. And you and we, even, have been accepted as trainees to go through it. Oh, Krishna, what happened? Three questions from the internet.
Chandra asks, how does a person's next life influence when they are suffering in this life?
How is a person's next life influenced when they are suffering in this life? Okay, yeah, go ahead. Well, it depends how one responds to those sufferings. It really does. If you you know, like Krishna says, Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, what is it, verse 14, I think, or 16 maybe, that four kinds of pious people begin to render devotional service, and one of them is a suffering person. Yes? But then Prabhupada in the purport there explains that, you know, it depends if the person, the suffering person, really turns to the Lord and really stays with it or not. And Prabhupada mentioned some people are suffering, they commit suicide. And some become addicted to some form of intoxication. Some go insane. Some, Prabhupada says, some join extreme political organizations, either there or somewhere else. So it depends. But in many cases, where people are suffering, they turn to God. And if, you know, if turning to God, they get the association of devotees, then they can become devotees and then go back to God again. But otherwise, well, I mean, it's sort of self-explanatory. You know, if they commit suicide because of their suffering, which is generally by far the main reason people commit suicide, then they generally would become ghosts. And if they, become alcoholics or drug addicts, then it's some other sort of very tamagoon type of birth they'll get. And so on. One just need to think about the specific. You know, the condition in which they're living, which is forming the consciousness, which they're going to take birth according to in the next life. What's the next life?
Is there a dissolution of the universe at the change of the mind?
At the change of the mind, is there a dissolution of the universe? There is a limited dissolution. There's different levels of dissolutions. And at the end of the life of the mother, there's, as I recall, you know, I'd have to go through the seal, but a very limited type of dissolution up to a certain. What caused the person to fall prey to the modes of material nature, although they're engaged in devotional service? Yeah? Well, you know, we mentioned before old habits die hard. There's a lot of stuff within the heart, and it tends to come up from time to time. And if some of it comes up, you know, it may be some memory of what one did when one tried to enjoy the past. It may catch the person's attention, and then they may become attached to it again. And then if they really become attached to it again, then you could say, well, sooner or later, they'll just go off with it. Yeah. So that's what happened. And last but definitely not least, but then we see Lord Nityananda has a different nature, or I think in that particular case, he prayed, begged Lord Chaitanya, please, my Lord, don't kill them, give them to me. And he delivered them. And then Lord Chaitanya accepted them after just, very, very soon after. So the question is, what's the position of Lord Nityananda? Right. In terms of the degree of mercy in relation to Lord Chaitanya and his mercy. In a certain sense, he is more merciful. And that, there's a song actually.